الله رب العالمين، نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. That is, praise be to Allah, the cherisher of the Lord and cherisher of all the worlds. We seek Him for assistance. We ask Him for forgiveness. I bear witness that nothing deserves worship except Allah alone. There is nothing like unto Him. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أيها المسلمون. We pray peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, upon his descendants, his companions, the righteous all, and upon us. Be peace, Ameen. Allah Most High says in Quran, the book of Allah, Allah's book. Allah says, Ya Bani Adama, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَأْسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Allah Most High says, the translation is given here, O you children of Adam, we have bestowed clothing upon you to cover your shame, as well as to be an adornment to you. But the clothing of righteousness, that is the best. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah Most High has told us that the best clothing is the clothing of righteousness. And we know again in the Quran, Allah Most High, He says, and when you go forth, take your provisions. And the best of provisions is taqwa. The best of provision is to remain conscious of your duty to God. That's the best protection for us. Praise be to Allah. Dear beloved Muslims, in this society, especially, it is true for the poor people in this society. In this society, people go out for the things that have little or no meaning, and they neglect the things that are the most important. And that's true of our presentation of ourselves, how we present ourselves to each other, how we present ourselves to the public. There are people who care more about the fashion of today than they care about the principles that uphold good life. And they will struggle to get those things that they think give them some kind of status in the eyes of society. Whether they have any substance to support that show or not, doesn't matter very much with them. They only want to be seen as somebody that is up to date or has something.
So we will buy fancy clothes. We will spend too much money. We will buy clothes beyond our means. So we will be looked upon as a person who's well-dressed or a person who's into something. And that weakens our foundation. Because if we're spending money on show and there's nothing real to support it, the money that we're spending on show is taken away from the real foundation of life. So at home, the family is weak. The black neighborhood is weak. The black race is weak. Because we are into this American thing, competing with each other to see who can keep up the show the best. We should hear the words of God if we are Muslims. If we are Muslims, we should hear the words of God. And God here draws our attention to a clothing that is first, the clothing of taqwa. Be sure that you are conscious of God more than you're conscious of your clothing that you buy from these New York clothes dealers. Be sure that you are conscious of your responsibility to your Lord. Just stop one. And be aware that there is the Satan, the Shaitan, the Satan. And Allah has told us in His Quran that the Satan, he wants to take us from what God has to offer us so that we will follow His offer. And His offer seems very attractive, but it is always a disappointment. Whereas Allah's offer never fails, according to the word of Allah in the Quran. And Allah says, and do not let Satan cause you to come out of your righteousness as he caused your parents in the garden to come out of the dress that Allah had put them in. The dress that Allah put them in is a dress of uprightness, the dress of belief in God and right doing. So, dear beloved Muslims, let's remember to keep these things first, especially in a society like this where the level of competition is so high that even the poorest person is forced almost by the pressure, social pressure. He's forced, or she's forced, to take the little few dollars that they have in their hand and spend it on a show so they won't be embarrassed when they go outside. I don't mind being embarrassed in this crazy world. If these are the people that's going to laugh at me, then I don't mind being laughed at, because their laugh has no meaning in my life. I think intelligent people should be laughing at them for putting all their money in show and nothing in real substance. Let us not look for, we are poor people. Majority of us are poor people. I come from Chicago, South Side. Majority of the people on Chicago South Side are us, and we are poor there. And now I'm in Harlem, and you look poorer than we are in Chicago. So we are committing a sin. We are committing a sin as Muslims when we take the few dollars we got and try to keep up a show so these crazy people who have false values will think we are into something. Don't be afraid to let them see you wearing Sears and Roebuck overalls. But keep them clean. Wear clean overalls. Because a Muslim, he is clean. Allah instructed the Prophet to clean his clothing. to clean the place where he lives, to clean the place where he prays. Cleanliness, the Muslim environment must be clean. And Prophet Muhammad practiced that. And the best of cleanliness is the cleanliness internally. Because the man who works at the slaughterhouse might have to get dirty while he's working. But he remains clean if he's a good Muslim. He's clean internally. And we know what keeps us clean internally. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked his companions, he says, if a river runs by your home and you wash in that river 5 times a day, will there be any more defects and uncleanliness on you? And the companions answered, no. And the Prophet explained to them that the cleaning is the 5 daily prayers. That the Muslim that makes the 5 daily prayers, he will not have the stain of the world on him. But we can't do it absent-minded. We have to do it with our hearts in it. Then the prayer is the cleansing for us. And God says, and surely prayer keeps away evil and indecency. It is a protection against evil and indecency. So praise be to Allah, and I hope that we will continue in our effort to put first things first. And those things that are of less importance, put them behind those things that are more of more importance. People have confused values in this world. They put importance on the things that shouldn't be respected, and they disregard those things that should be respected. And we have to come away from that. We are Muslims. We have to learn the Quran, follow the Quran, and share the Quran with each other. Those who read better, you help those who can't read. This is the teaching of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Those who know, you give those who don't know. That's the teachings of the Prophet, peace and the blessings be on him. So let us not like the people of these big cities that have been abused so much and had their goodness thrown back in their faces so much that they have become hard themselves when they used to be good human beings. And really their hardness is other than themselves. They carry a hardness that's not really themselves. So they are going along with the hardness of the world and they are being hard, but really their hardness is a burden on them because they would like to be soft. They want to be human. They want to be courteous. They want to greet people with a kind greeting, and they want to extend courtesies to people. But because of the ignorance and the hardness in the society, they have gone along with it. They say, why should I do it? It's going to be thrown back into my face. Let us understand that Muslims are not to give in to this kind of situation. That Muslims are to always practice the best. The best. They are never to allow themselves to become inhuman. No matter how inhuman the environment becomes, they are to remain human. You are not to spend your goodness out on the people that deserves it the least and neglect those that deserve it the most. But spend that goodness on your good brothers and sisters. They are good brothers and sisters, just like you, who want to be kind. They want to be human. They want to wish somebody well. They want to say a kind word. They want to extend the courtesy. So you know them. If you don't know them, find them. Find them. And then you show your goodness toward them. And they show their goodness toward you. And those that you know to be vowed inhuman beasts, don't waste your time on them. Why should I greet somebody that I know has nothing for me but hate, coldness and hatred? Say, but if he's a Muslim, I have to greet him, don't I? Yes, if he's a Muslim. But if he doesn't show in his life that he's a Muslim and only on his lips come Muslim, we know who he is. He's one of the munafiq. And we are not supposed to wish the munafiq peace. No. Now, we have been too kind to the hypocrites and been ignoring the good believers. Don't carry your kindness to the hypocrites. Carry your kindness to the faithful worshiper of God, the faithful worshiper of God, that shows in their attitude and in their behavior that they are believers, that they love Allah, that they love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they love this Quran, that they love the religion of Al-Islam, that they love the Muslim life. Those are the people that should be coming together and should be finding among each other expression for their life. You can't find expression for your life among the hypocrites. They don't want your expression. They don't appreciate your expression. They laugh at, they think you're inferior if you're good. So why waste your time with people like that? I'm tired of wasting my time with hypocrites. Dear beloved Muslims, we have to practice righteousness. Righteousness. We cannot claim to be Muslims and practice the sins of the world. We have to practice righteousness. Now, we know some of us have recently met this religion and just getting acquainted with it. And we know that you have many habits from the world. Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings be on him, he didn't make changes in one day when he found God and found the way and then looked back at his people and saw their sins and how far they were from what Allah wanted. He didn't say immediately comes where Allah wants you right now. Put down all your liquors, put down this and put down gambling and put down all these. He didn't do it that way. But once the knowledge is established, then you can't take too much time. We don't expect, if a Muslim hears the right way, he knows the right way, we don't expect for him to say, well, I'm going to wean myself off of liquor. I'm going to wean myself off of dope. I'm going to wean myself off of pimping or prostitution or gambling or any other major sins. We don't expect that believer will say in this day and time that he has to have a program of gradualism. Why? Because this is not like pagan Arabia. Pagan Arabia believed in sin with a religious support for it. Their religion allows them that. Whereas in America, you Christians, you may lie to each other, but you can't lie to everybody. You Christians know that you're not supposed to be a drunkard. You're not supposed to be a dope fiend. You're not supposed to be a pimp. You're not supposed to be a prostitute. You're not supposed to give your life to the way of the world. That's what the church teaches. That's what Christianity teaches. And most of you come from Christian backgrounds. So you know you've been following the devil. You don't have to be told that by the Muslim. So when the Muslim way comes, a way that is clear, when it comes, you should accept it, and on the strength of what you know, what you have known all the time was proper. You knew your behavior was wrong all along. You should just say, well, here is a way that's clear. I don't have to be confused anymore. I'm going to become a Muslim, and right now I make a decision never to drink again liquors, never to eat pork again, never to gamble again, never to participate in the criminal activities of the world again. You should make that your decision right then and there and trust God to strengthen you and protect you. That should be your decision. But you who find it very difficult, the believers, as long as you see a believer sincerely trying to live a Muslim life. Don't cast them out because they are still doing some sinful things. Don't cast them out. But when you know that they have given up and their intentions are no good anymore, that they are deceivers and not truly struggling Muslims, then separate yourself from them. And even the brother with sin, we have to be toward him, as Allah teaches us in the Quran, as Prophet Muhammad has taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad says, help your brother, whether he's in the wrong or the right, when he was asked. And they said, the believers, his followers said, O Prophet, O Messenger of God, how is it that you help the one who is in the wrong? And he said, help him by keeping him from the wrong. Help him by holding him back from the wrong. So that in itself is an indication, is a clear indication, is a proof that Prophet Muhammad didn't expect every Muslim not to commit sin. But he expected that if Muslims commit sin, there will be brothers around and sisters around that will be alert and will be helpful enough to call their brother and sister's attention to their foot slipping in the path of sin. Say, oh brother, oh sister, that's not Islamic. That's not Muslim-like. Please don't bring the displeasure of God upon you and this community if we allow such to grow. So if we can pull them back from sin, and that's what God wants. And again, Prophet Muhammad says, the Muslim is what mir'ad akhi, is the mirror for his brother. The mirror for his brother. Now, you know, we like to have the glass mirror. I think the American people, especially the ones who live in the heart of the city, big city, I think they have the greatest mirror addiction in the world. Sometimes I'm talking to certain fellows, and if they can find a mirror, they don't look at me, they look in the mirror while they talk to me. Now, that's the bad mirror. You don't want that mirror. That's the mirror of vanity. The mirror of self-deceit that spoils your character and robs you of your mental strength as well as your moral strength. You don't want that. What we want is the mirror of the brother, the Muslim brother that Prophet Muhammad spoke of. The Muslim brother that reflects in himself what Allah wants in the Muslim person and has the courage to tell us when we are not reflecting the best. We have to have moral courage if we are going to be a strong people. You look at the trends now and the political trends, not to mention the economic trends. We don't have any economic trends except as consumers. When you look at the political trends now, what is indicated in the political trends that we see in the African American people? What it indicates? It indicates the absence, a total absence of moral courage. Total absence of moral courage. Total lack of moral courage. Sometimes I wonder why the whites like to call us black and them white. Then it came to me, well, they're speaking to a reality that we would like to ignore or shut our eyes to. And that reality is that we lack the means, supports, etc., to establish our race in America. We are people lacking. You know, B-L-A-C-K is B-lack. We say black, but it's B-lack. B-lacking. And we are B-lacking in so many ways. Now, that's not our language, that's English. And I wonder how come they like to call us black, you know? I've been talking to them and I said, why you call me black? And I show them something that's darker than me. I say, what color is that? They say, dark brown. I say, how come I'm black and that's dark brown and I'm lighter than that? Yeah, I know what they mean, you know, but I like to bother them a little bit like they bother us. Why is it so important that you call me black? Why is that so important to you, that you call me black? And they won't say, because most of them don't know themselves. It's a psychology that takes all of us. But the masterminds, the devils, they know. They feed the atmosphere with these charge words, and they know the effect on the dummies. Whites and blacks alike. So they like to call themselves whites, like the Hittites, and like to call us black, like Uncle Remus. Lacking. Got a big heart, but lacking. My dear beloved Muslims, we have to give up the thinking of the world. Give up the thinking of this world. The Muslim, he should get his principles, he should get his ideology from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet. If the Muslim accepts American democracy, it should be because he finds American democracy not to be in conflict with his idea of democracy. So much so that it would require him a rejection, that he rejected American democracy. If he finds that he can live with American democracy, that it is in some real way compatible with Islamic democracy, then he should accept American democracy. But the Muslim should never accept American democracy as an American. The Muslim should accept American democracy as a Muslim. In other words, it should be sent through the filter of your Islamic understanding. When you accept what comes through the filter, what stays on the other side, what wouldn't come through, you reject. Now, if you do that, do you think you'll be a true American? Yes. That's what the Jews do. But they use Jewish filter. That's what the Irish Catholics do, with Irish filter. That's what the Chinese Americans do, with Chinese filter. Everybody got a filter. But the be black, be lack, be lack, be lacking. Everybody got a filter but us. We think to be an American is to take America just as they present it. Now who's presenting it? Someone that had to see America for himself. The Republicans have one idea of the American democracy. The Democrats have another idea of American democracy. And on the two sides, there are many different ideas of American democracy. But when it comes to our race, we just have one idea of American democracy. It is that you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. That's the black people. Idea of American democracy. We don't have to do anything. We're free. This is a democracy. We don't have to do anything we don't want to do. So if I don't want to go to work this morning, I don't have to. I'm free. This is the democracy. If I want to snort some coke, I'm free. This is the democracy. Isn't this the black people
idea of American democracy?
And most of the ignorant masses in America are right along with us. They have that crazy idea. But the people who are directing life in America, holding the power, shaping the future, they have an intelligent idea of what American democracy is. And the rest of us are their dumb domestic animals, or wild animals. One or the other. Domestic animals are game, wild game. Do you want to be Muslim? You have to get away from that. If you want to be Muslim, you're going to have to be better than that. You cannot be Muslims and be that naive. A Muslim's supposed to be a civilized, enlightened person. We don't expect every Muslim to be a scholar, but we expect every Muslim to have Muslim common sense. Muslim common sense. And Muslim common sense makes you a college graduate in the population centers of America. Muslim common sense, I repeat, makes you equal to the college graduate. When it comes to managing your life better than him, it puts you above the college graduate. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to have a college degree. No, indeed. We want them. We want everybody to have it if you can, but we know not to expect that. People will go in their separate avenues of interest. Everyone won't be a college graduate or a scholar in the wisdom, in the sciences. We know that. But we do expect that Muslim community will want all of its citizens informed, and able to use good Muslim common sense. The failure of the Muslim nations of the world is that they haven't kept that up. And if we come into the same pattern or accept that same kind of a lack life of the Muslim, then we won't get ourselves up. We are down. We won't see our way up. We will not get up. A few of us will go up the ladder of false achievement, but the great majority of us will stay down. And in that the great majority stay down, the few that go up have no dignity. Because wherever they go, they are mocked by the cack of the race. People say that's one of them. And if you got a PhD, it doesn't matter. You can have 100 PhDs, it doesn't matter. They say that's one of them. Now we have a way out. We have a way to change this situation. We can read the Quran and become enlightened. Educated. We can become strengthened. We can become a people of moral strength. A people of strong faith. Having the strength to survive and to deal with the problem of the world and not be upset to the point we give up. The real Muslim, I don't care if he's not educated, he has common sense. He has faith in Allah. He has strong faith in God. He follows the Prophet Muhammad, the ideal human person, the model of excellence. He follows him. So no matter how rough life gets for him, he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. Because the influences in his life says it's beneath you to give up. God made you bigger, better and bigger than that. He doesn't give up. And that's what we need. We need staying power. We've been in America for 400 years or more, and all we've been doing is staying and laying and idling. We haven't had staying power. But if you become a Muslim in the true sense, for once
You will have staying power. You will put your mind to a constructive thing and you will keep at it until it produces.
See, I represent the liberator. I represent Muhammad the Prophet, the liberator. God made him the liberator. Fulfilling the scripture. God promised the people a liberator. One like Moses. That's not only Quran, that's also their scripture. The people of the book, they have the same. Where God promised them a liberator. And Prophet Muhammad, according to this Quran, in chapter 7, 157th verse of this Quran, Allah tells us that He is the answer. Muhammad is the answer. Peace and blessings be upon the Prophet. He is the answer to the promise of that liberator. He answers the promise. He is the one that God sent with the light. For what purpose? To relieve misery in the life of people. To take the yokes of slavery off of them. To end cruel persecution. This is Muhammad the Prophet, the liberator, one like Moses. So he shall raise up from among the brethren one like unto Moses. We know Moses, he was a liberator. Moses fought oppression. Moses fought false belief. He fought oppression and false belief. And Allah promised that He would raise one up like Moses. When you study the history of our Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll find that he was a liberator. He fought the oppressor. Now, you want an Islam that just says, do dhikr, make wudu 20 times a day, and do 50 prayers a day? Is that the religion you want? Or do you want the religion that is balanced intelligently? So that a man is able to go to work and earn a decent living, an honest living, and take care of his home responsibilities, as well as carry out his religious devotion. Do you want the religion that says, oh, God wants peace, and the peace God wants is that no trouble will be in this town. But the town is oppressed by troublemakers. So will you be the one to keep the wrong kind of peace? Or will you be the one to fight trouble for the right kind of peace? I follow Muhammad the liberator. Peace and the blessings be upon him. He is a man. He makes me manly when I copy his way. I don't want no boy leader. Praise be to Allah. So I wonder if we are ready for Muhammad the Prophet. I wonder if we are ready for the Quran. I wonder if we are ready for the Sunnah of the Prophet. I wonder if we are ready for Al-Islam. You have to grow up a little bit if you're still Negro. You have to grow up a little bit to be ready for Al-Islam. No servile, lackey, multi-time black man can be a Muslim. Until he first kicks that out of himself. He has to first hate that demeaning figure of himself and throw it out and stamp on it and spit on it. Then he'll be ready to be a good Muslim. You have to hate what Allah hates. That's what Allah says. That's what the Prophet told us. You have to hate what Allah hates. If you love, or if you go along with something you know God has denounced in strong terms, you are not a believer.
You're not a believer. You're either still in the grave of ignorance and sin, or you're a hypocrite. One or the other. You're not a believer. The believer, when he hears what his Lord says, he says he dislikes, the believer automatically dislikes it. And Allah says he dislikes that slandering or abusive words against a person be broadcast, except in case where an injustice have been done. Except in cases where injustice have been done. So here is you know, this is not a religion for cattle. That are signaled by the pistol to go into the corral. No. This is religion for people who use their good senses, for intelligent people. Now, you will read where God says it is not right to say bad things about a person, to say abusive things about them. And you may stop right there. And then you'll see an oppressor in your midst. And you say, well, he's a Muslim. And I, yes, he's not perfect, but who is? I'm not going to speak out against him. Said, no, I'm not going to speak out against him because Allah says he dislikes us saying abusive things or slandering people. How can you slander slime? You slander the good. When you say something bad about a good person, you're slandering a good person. But if you say something bad about slime, how can you slander slime? And anyone who lives an immoral life in our midst and wear the name Muslim, walk with the criminals and wear the name Muslim, live immoral and wear the name Muslim, any person who does that is an oppressor. Because their conduct in the name of Islam oppresses Islam in America. And is a bad reflection on Islam all throughout the world. That's an oppressor. So we don't fear to speak out against him. We are not slandering him or her. We are speaking out against slime. So I know when I talk to any gathering that expected me, I'm talking to two groups. More than two groups, but basically two groups. One group loves this religion and loves me because they believe that I stand for it. And another group that uses this religion and tries to deceive me and you so they can continue to use it. So I know I'm talking to these two groups. Now, nobody invited you here with us. So if you don't feel comfortable, blame yourself for being here. You should have said, I'm going to stay home so I'll be comfortable today. And when Imam Wesley Muhammad go back home, then I'll come out. Praise be to Allah. So the point is, it cheapens the person to be false to a life that he claims that is so dignified and so great. If you be false to a thing that you claim that is excellent and great, you cheapen yourself. If you would serve your own well-being, your own interest, if you would serve your own interest, you would try to be true to what you profess. Especially when you profess to be something that is great. In this world, a Muslim is great. And if I profess to be a Muslim, I'm professing to be something that is great. Something of great excellence in the world. Now, if I profess it just to get over on somebody who's God-fearing and nice and will go along with me simply because I say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace and the blessings be upon the Prophet. Be a man of Allah. My language can charm them and I can get over. So I pretend to be a Muslim. But look here, I can understand people from the wealthy circles of America, people from the criminal establishment, who control the criminal establishment, I can understand them taking on the guise of a Muslim. I can understand a communist taking on the guise of a Muslim. But I can't understand a Halamite, African American, taking on the guise of a Muslim to get over on Muslims. I can't understand that. I can't understand that. Because you have a greater opportunity in accepting to be a good Muslim, a true Muslim, than you can ever have in Harlem trying to get over on Muslims. I can understand a communist taking on the guise of a Muslim. But I can't understand a Halamite
to stop cheapening yourself. The opportunity to be a good Muslim is the opportunity to be free. The opportunity to realize a sense of worth and dignity that you never can have being other than Muslim in America. And I feel the urge to just beg you to give your decision a second thought. To look at those that you are working for. And give your decision a second thought. Because I am my brother's keeper. I'm not Cain that will see my brother's weakness and will get over on him. Get him in the head when his senses are turned in the wrong direction. I'm a Muslim. And I don't value anything more than that identity. I'm black, but I'm also Muslim. And my Muslim identity runs deeper than my skin blackness. It has more substance. It has made me me, whereas black alone left me looking for me. And I want to see you with this. Because I know it's freedom. I know it's dignity. I know it is value. That's what we want, value. So give your decision a second thought. And either become a true Muslim or a true American. Either one will help your situation. The true Muslim says, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika lahu wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana minal muslimin. Surely my prayers and my sacrifices, my life and death are for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. La sharika lahu. Nothing is like unto him. He has no partner. Wa bi dhalika umirtu. And by this I am commanded. I am ordered. And I am of the Muslims. And the declaration of courage of the true American is this: give me liberty or give me death. So either be a true Muslim or a true American. Our people need help. And we need either courageous Americans in our black communities or we need courageous Muslims. Now the courageous American will do nothing but give us more America. And I think our aspirations go beyond what America has to offer. But that'll be better than keeping on in your way. The way of self-help degeneration. That's all it is. You follow your mean, cruel master. They get you to step down from the plane of human dignity to the level of cheap lies. They say, well, one thing you can count on, slime. You will always have some slime to eat. Now, Allah hasn't created any human being for that low, despicable level of life. And anyone who lets you go on like that and doesn't try to call you back is himself or herself a devil or a follower of the devil. A human being cannot stomach seeing his brothers and his sisters serving the death of their people and not the life of their people. We thank Allah for the opportunity to come here again to Harlem and to address you here in Malcolm Shabazz Mosque, Masjid. We pray that Allah will strengthen us in our religion, keep us united as Muslims, give us the courage to stand up for what is right. Allah says to us, to the believers, "Kunu qawwamina bil qist." Be a people standing up for what is right, standing up for justice. Witnesses for God, though it be against a near relative, a near one of ours, though it be against the rich or poor. Allah, He demands something of us. So let us accept that, because that's best for us. What Allah has prescribed for us is dignity, growth, prosperity, strength, meaning. And that's what we want. We're not going to sell anything less than that. No, we're not. Not the select few that's taking up this religion with every power in their heart and soul. We are not going to sell for less than that. And I'm asking this community to have less and less patience with people that profess this religion and live a complete different life right in our faces. No, we're not going to tolerate that. So search your souls and then rethink your decision. And may Allah bless you to do what is proper and have mercy on us and forgive us for our wrongs. Rabb
ربنا نعوذ بك من كل ذنب. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أيها المسلمون، dear beloved Muslims، our Prophet Muhammad peace and blessing be on him, he says, "Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin." Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin. That the religion of Islam is structured upon five essentials. We know those essentials are, as the Prophet has told us, and as the Quran teaches us, the Word of God. They are to bear witness that there is but one God, that Allah is one. He has no father, he has no son. He is not dependent upon any of his creation. He creates and he is not created. This is Allah in the Quran. And we know that we are to bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of that Allah. I wonder how many of us are really aware of what we are bearing witness to. When I say that my Lord is Allah, who created everything, but himself is not created. He is eternal. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. Allah is one. Allah is the eternal. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He never gave birth to any child as a parent, and he never was born of a parent. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And nothing exists comparable to him. This is the Quran, Suratul Ikhlas, the surah that says that it finished, no more to be said behind it. That's exactly what's indicated in the name Ikhlas. It means it's pure and perfect to say no more. Don't add or take away from that. That's enough. That's clear and plain enough. Praise be to Allah. Okay, many of us, we don't know what we're saying. If you knew what you were saying, you would be more productive, you would be more consequential, you would be more significant in this world. Your life would be of more consequence if you really knew what you were saying. When you say that you are worshiping and you pray to and you depend on for your protection, as Allah teaches us in the Quran and in the life of the Prophet, Allah, who created everything and himself is not subject to damage or attack or defect or anything like the creation is. When you say you believe in a God like that, that has been always existed, so nothing is unknown to him, and he is all powerful, he's capable of doing whatever he wants, as he says in the Quran. If you say you believe in a God like that, you should be more important to this society than you are. It's like a man, if I may give you a comparison. It's like a man saying, one man says, my boss, my highest boss, is Jesse Jackson. And another man says, my highest boss is Ronald Reagan. Now, who do you think, which one of the men's words have power over the other one? Now, if my boss is Allah, and you come to me and say, well, my boss is Reagan, whose words you think has power over the other? Yes, I say my boss is Allah. That Allah we just described with the teaching of the Quran and Islam. I say my boss is Allah. And another one say my boss is Reagan. Then should I be disparaged? Should I be weakened in my heart and my spirit? Because I was proud of my boss. I say my boss is Allah. And he came behind me and said, my boss is Reagan. I should be dignified enough to say peace to you, Jahili. And walk unmoved. Walk along unmoved. Faith hasn't been shaken at all, and spirit hasn't been daunted. A lot of us don't know what we're bear witnessing to. If we did, we would be more productive in our lives. And then we say another powerful thing, another great powerful statement. We say, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Peace and blessings be upon him. Now, look at what we're saying. We're saying that this eternal God, whose power and authority is absolute, who cannot be resisted, we're saying that he now communicated his direction for humanity through a mortal just like me. And Allah says to Muhammad and say, Muhammad, that you are what? Basharun mithlukum. A moral being just like they are. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Now, when we say that God that's not approachable, I can't approach Allah except as what? Servant? Except as praying person? That's the only way I can approach Allah. And he admits this creature into his presence as much as he likes. I can't see the whole room. Just a little part of it, on an indication maybe what's there. It's a little bit too much for me. If I saw half of it, the eyes would go out. The ears would become dead, the deafened. Perhaps the brain would just burst and run out like melted butter. Be too much for me. To know myself is too much. Yes, and you know, I guess that's why God, he doesn't let us see our whole self until the next world. In the next world, God says he's going to show you everything about yourself then. Because in this life, it'll be too much. It'll blow your mind, it'll blow your mind way, way out. So, you know, we don't want to see half of the truth about ourselves right now. We're running from ourselves and want to see all of God. Oh, brother, show me all of God. Now look, brother, I'm one of the disbelievers in the day of Moses. Show me God in physical body. And if we would ask the poor Jahili, say, show us yourself in physical body.
He said, well, yeah, I am. So you didn't show me very much. Let me show you what Professor Willie Einstein showed us about your body.
So don't you ever show me your body again. I'd rather listen to Professor Willie Einstein. I'd rather him show me your body. Because you don't know nothing about your body.
It was a dumbbell. I'm not trying to make anybody feel cheap. I'm trying to shock us out of that ignorant attitude. Demanding knowledge of God, and you don't know how to get to Canada.
Don't know how to get off the unemployment roll. But bring God down here so I can anatomize him. I want to thoroughly digest God. That's another thing we got to do. We got to get those people out from among us.
Anybody among us that's still having this attitude that God is like matter, the creation, or is energy or expression of matter, and that we have to deal with God like we do laboratory materials, analyze him, give definitions from our own observation. Man, according to the teachings of this religion, is to know God with his heart and not treat him like created matter. He's not created matter. He is the creator of that. I wonder if we know what we think. I bear witness that there is no God, only Allah alone, no partner with him, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. We are saying that that great God that's beyond man's power to totally grasp it, that God has communicated his message for the direction of human life on this earth to a mortal just like me. It wasn't me, but it was a mortal like me. Flesh and blood, human person. Not a divine being. Prophet Muhammad was not an angel. Prophet Muhammad was not a divine. There's only one divine, that's Allah. He was not an angel. He was a mortal being just like us. He had no powers to see into the future. He had no powers to enforce something. No. Or to penetrate the unknown of his own power. No, he didn't have that. He was just like us. We have human limitations. Our prophet had those same human limitations. He was wearied. The sins and ignorance of the world was a burden on his spirit and his back. And he went seeking seclusion, privacy with his Lord. And he turned to God, and God communicated to him. He was not a student of the rabbis. He was not a student of the Christian priest. He was not tutored by any intellectual. He was a man of common world knowledge, one of the ignorant, what we call uneducated or unlettered masses. And God communicated to him. So if God communicated the direction for him and then raised him up with the Quran to be the leader for all Muslims and for all the world, what does that say of your worth as a mortal person? It says that this vessel that we abuse, that this life, this human nature, and this human life, this potential for excellence that we disregard, God has made it for the destiny. God has made it for the achievement that we see in the life of the prophet. And we are to look to him, and all of us are to pursue the path of al-Islam in the light of Quran and in the light of his excellence. Communism doesn't offer you any path to dignity that great,
that impressive.
No! You all, if you understand this religion, you will see that it cheapens any of us to listen to someone trying to sell us a philosophy, whether it's capitalism or communism. It cheapens us to even listen to it after we have had the invitation from the Quran and the Prophet. Now, I'm saying this to people of common sense. And I'm speaking as a man. I hope that respects and practices common sense. That's how I think of myself. But you among us who got wisdom that you have to get a shuttle to go up and up there and see it. It's so high above our heads. When you read the Quran, you should be more responsive than the common ignorant people. If you're so wise, you know the Greek alphabet, you're so wise, how come you don't use that wisdom to see that this ideology in the Quran is so superior to communism and capitalism that you shame yourself to walk in the name of capitalism or communism after you have seen and observed what is in Al-Islam? In fact, if you find things of worth in capitalism and communism, I can find their likeness in the Quran, but without their problem. Yes! If it advocates something great for society, whether it's capitalism or communism, I guarantee you, we can find the like of whatever you got over there, but without the problems that you got over there. When do you think Western democracy was first conceived? Do you think it was just conceived 10 years ago? Do you think it was just conceived when Adam Smith, who advocated capitalism or capitalist doctrine, or Paine, with his common sense letters, and the others, do you think this democracy, Western democracy, was just conceived then? No. They trace the roots and history of this democracy back hundreds and hundreds of years to Greece and other locations in the world, in the history of man. But look how long it took them to produce something. 500 years, America. England, Rome, 1,000 years. 1,000 years of stagnation. Is that not a fact? And they had Jesus Christ. God forgive. Peace be upon the prophet. They had the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. And they had a concept of this democracy they call Western democracy. If you understand this, this Western democracy has its likeness, or its, I would say, its source in their Bible. When they came to this country, what did they call their new democracy? They called it the New Destiny. The New Jerusalem. Now, some of you will sit down because you're weak. And you want an excuse to deceive yourself. You want some reason, something to use to excuse yourself from responsibility that your own intelligence requires. So you will say, if that religion is so great, how come the Jews are dominating the Middle East? How come the Western powers are ruling and dominating the earth? That's what you will say. But you won't have the sense to think intelligently and say this power that's now dominating had its ideology too, but was stagnant for 1,000 years. Don't judge the Quran by the people that call themselves Muslims. But judge the people that call themselves Muslims by the Quran. If we would judge Christians, listen, if we would judge Christians by the 1,000 years history of Christianity before the Protestant movement, if we would judge Christianity by that 1,000 years history, we would have to say Christianity is a religion of slavery. It's a religion that denies women the freedom to be educated. We would have to say it is a religion that denies the public the right to education, because that's what it did. It denied the public education. It denied women education. And our prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, when he proclaimed this message in his own life, he didn't only say that male and female, as Allah tells us in the Quran, they are obligated to get an education. Education is an obligation on both male and female. But he also, with the Quran, he gave an incentive to men. He said, any man that will educate 2 daughters will have the paradise. It wasn't just the declaration of their right. There was work and promotion of their right. So does it go for the freeing of slaves and everything else. So, but when we look at the content of Christianity and look at the content of their ideology, we still see slavery, though the people doing something different. The West is doing something different, but their language, the Bible, I read it, is full of slavery. It rejects woman. Yes, it does. It raises up Mary, the Blessed Mary. It raises her up. But it demeans woman. It discredits woman. And this Western civilization, it speaks so highly of woman's freedom, but it abuses the woman. It excites the insane sexual lust, the subhuman lust in the ignorant male public, and expose our wives and our daughters to their mad sexual rage. So what do you come here? Did you come here to join us in bearing witness to the superiority of Islam? If you didn't, then you come here to be disgraced. You come here to be disgraced. Because the truth of the world, the truth of Islam, the truth of Christianity, the truth of democracy, the truth of communism. Right now they got socialism in France. But what's happening in France? Unemployment, chaos. I thought socialism, I thought communism guaranteed jobs. The biggest problem France got right now is unemployment. Socialist program. Look what the socialist program has done for you and me. Made us satisfied sissies, our brutal apes preying on the weak in the ghetto. Lay up and wait for your wife to get a check. Some of us are so bold we go and ask for a check ourselves. I ain't got no job, give me a welfare check. So you want to go on welfare? Okay, sign the papers. You're going on welfare, not for your wife, not for your children. You're going on welfare for you. And you're a strong, able man, right? Yes. Said, well, what are we going to do when there's no job? Do what the Haitian who got off the boat did. Do what the Korean did that came over here. Do what the Indians do that come over here. Do what the Chinese do that come over here. Do what the Cubans do that come over here. Do what the Arabs do that come over here. Do what these other ethnic groups do that come over here. They come over here and they don't go to Illinois State Employment Office. They don't go to the local employment office here in Harlem or New York. They go to America's resources. And they make a life for themselves. But we have been pampered by the Democrats. The Democrats have made us worthless as a race, economically and politically speaking. Yes, I blame the Democrats. Because they have used us to advance socialism, to open the country up for communism. They have used us. And what do we have to show for what we have given them? Ritualistic support. That's what we've given the Democrats. Ritualistic support. We do what they say like it's a religious ritual. I went to vote in Chicago, and the lady asked me, one of our women, ladies, she asked me, she said, as she did everybody else, say, what are you, Democrat or Republican? I say, do I have to say it? She says, yes. I say, that's un-American. I came to vote for a candidate for the presidency. I didn't come here to have to tell you what party I belong to. And I shouldn't have to. I said, that's un-American. She said, she didn't say it wasn't un-American. She said, well, there's nothing we can do. See, you have to do that. I'm sorry, you have to do it. I said, well, tell me what party most of the people that I see of my community here, what party are they voting with? She said, the Democrat. I say, for that sake, make me Democrat today. But we're going to work on it tomorrow. Because if I had my choice, say, here's one party, they say they know how to take good care of a donkey. And another party say they know how to take good care of the elephant. I either reject both, or I think I picked a party that can take good care of the elephant, because the elephant is a bigger and more valuable animal. It takes a little more resources and a little more sense to take care of an elephant. But as an American Muslim, I don't have to be an elephant needing care, and I don't have to be a donkey needing care. I can be a Muslim, and I can use these two parties to my advantage as an American. And that's when you become a strong ethnic group, when you start having that kind of intelligence and that kind of courage as an American. But if you don't have that kind of American courage, you're just a slave. You're the slave of America. People just not wanted for anything but to be used. So I hope I haven't presented myself in an unbecoming way, and don't think I'm arrogant. I have no arrogance in me. When I say things against you and say things in favor of the Muslims, I'm not bragging. I'm trying to get you to come out of your stupor so your brains will work well. Because I know it's not our fault that we think the way we do. Our minds have been the subject of the most subtle tricks of the highest psychology perhaps on earth. And we have been conditioned and manipulated into this thinking we have.
And we have to plead with each other, because in this religion, we are our brother's friend. We are our brother's brother. We should be the mirror for our brother. And we should hold him back from wrong, if we can. Especially when you profess to be Muslim. You profess to be Muslim, and we are Muslim, I'm Muslim. We have to stand by each other. We have to help each other in the right. And work together for the good of the whole Muslim community. And in the spirit of God's call to man, the Muslim man, let there rise up a community calling to all that is good and forbidding all that is wrong. And God again, he says, loving him and not fearing the embarrassment that comes from the words of the criticizer, or that comes with the words of the criticizer. You know, some of us, we can be embarrassed right out of our position of strength and dignity by the majority. Peer pressure in an adult world. Isn't that same? You know, I know peer pressure in grade school, peer pressure on the corner, the teenagers. But now we got peer pressure in the grown-up circle. Peer pressure. You know what's right. You know what's dignified. But you won't do it because there are 50 scum to one dignified person, and you're afraid of the pressure that will come from the 50 scum. We are Muslims. We have to understand that and come out of that thinking. Don't bow down to no pressure, but la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Praise be to Allah. Well, dear beloved Muslims, when I come here to Harlem, I look at a sad situation. It looked like Jamaica. I went to Jamaica, and I thought Jamaica was a land of the blacks. I got to Jamaica, and I saw the Jamaicans doing the domestic servants work and entertaining in the nightclubs. And I saw the white man and the Asians and others owning the resources and wealth and power of Jamaica. Though they had a black man in the prime minister's office, the office of prime minister. Then when I come to Harlem, I see the same thing. I see people look like they don't have nothing to do today. Nowhere to go today. Look like they just lost. Walking around out in the street like they lost. Looks like their spirit has been broken. And they can be bought now for 2 cents. That's the way most of them look that I saw when we were driving over here. That's pitiful. And every now and then, depending on what day it is, I come here on Sunday sometimes, and you see them dressed up in their Sunday best. A small group of the Harlemites going to church. And the preacher, you may see him looking like a businessman that goes down to the business office Monday morning. Or he may look like a cowboy. City cowboy. City slick cowboy. With a big old hat. Looking foul. White man's appointed slave master. One of the ward keepers. That's a shame. To know how long we have hungered for dignity and how important Harlem has been in the black man's demand for self-respect and for respect from others.
Harlem has been very significant. There's a great history here of struggle for uplift of the African-American person. And we come here and we see you more dejected, more idle, of less consequence than we see in the brother, perhaps in Chicago or Los Angeles or other places. What does that tell us? That picture says something terrible. It says something that's depressing. But at the same time, it reveals something that's relieving. What does it say? It says this, that the Harlem black man has been exposed too much to the need to respect self and elevate self to give up that hope. And the reason why he looks so dejected here in Harlem is because he can't give up that hope. If the hope wasn't given up in Chicago, you would see the same despair look in them walking the streets of Chicago. You would see the same broken back walking in Los Angeles. But the man here, he's been looking all the time into the destiny that says black man will overcome. Black man will be black and established. Not white and established. Black man will be black and established. He sees that. But he doesn't see any sign that he's making progress. So it weighs on his back. It depresses him. Consciously or not. And the others in Chicago and Los Angeles, those niggas think they're free. Excuse me for calling them niggas. But that's their mentality. That's their mentality. They still are back in the days when we called each other niggas and the white man called us niggas. They still back in that frame of mind. They don't want anything for the people. They want something for themselves. And they don't care what they have to do to get it. If that means being a traitor to the whole race, they'll be a traitor to the whole race. It means selling their ancestors' hope down the drain. They'll sell their ancestors' hope down the drain. They don't want to remember mom and daddy. They don't want to remember no responsibility except to building me up. Making me look like I got over. Like I made it. Okay, well, blacks that still have that mind, they can walk around in a Harlem situation and show no depression. Hey, what's happening, baby? Come on, man, let's go. They got energetic. They ready to move. They're energetic. But they're moving against the life of their people and feeding the strength of other races in this country to the detriment of their own lives. Well, a Harlemite, he doesn't want to give nobody nothing because he realizes that he hasn't got his yet. He doesn't even want to give a white man much. So what are we going to do? We might move to Harlem. We might move to Harlem. Yes, one day we might have to move to Harlem. And demonstrate that lost carriage of the Harlemite, the black Harlem man. What is that carriage? To go out there when this meeting is over and stand out there on the corner and say, look, brother, something is happening here. You got to come away from that line. Get on the job of calling your brothers and sisters.